On this episode of The Edge, Clear Edge CEO Leslie Vickery interviews Patty Johnson, CEO of People Results, a management consulting firm that helps leaders and organizations make changes to not only realize their goals, but also reach them. In the interview, Patty provides insight into how she scaled her business and consults large clients such as PepsiCo, 7-Eleven, Microsoft, and other big organizations. Patty has also written a book called Make Waves, Be the One to Start Change at Work and in Life. So Patty gives advice on how to write and publish a book that complements both your personal brand and your professional brand. I hope you enjoy this episode. Hi, everyone. This is Leslie Vickery, CEO of Clear Edge Marketing. And today for our Edge podcast, I am here with Patty Johnson, who is the CEO of People Results. Welcome, Patty.
Thank you. Great to be on.
Excellent. Well, just to share a little bit about your background, you actually started your career at Accenture. And you worked your way up quite a bit in the organization up to senior global business executive, and then you started your own company, People Results.
I did, yes.
Excellent. Well, I love one of the things I read about your company and know about it is you like to help organizations and leaders start the wave of change. What does that mean exactly, this wave of change?
Yes, well, you know, I think we can all relate to you have these big ideas, you know what you want to accomplish, but you're stuck. And I see that in individuals, and I see that in organizations. And so we spend a lot of energy helping people get unstuck, get started, make progress. And sometimes the bigger the vision, the bolder the vision, the harder that can be. And one of our clients that we're working with right now, that is really the dilemma for them. They're a multi-year change. What can we do right now? How can we get started? So, you know, change is kind of constant. It's inevitable. And it can feel overwhelming at times. So that's sort of what we do is help people get going, help them get moved to that next step so they're starting to see some progress. Okay. That's the simplest way of probably explaining it, I think.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So wave of change, there's different stages of change. And
sure.
I agree. I think just as a fellow business owner and entrepreneur, you know, as we make changes and look at the strategy of our company, oftentimes I think people get stuck in making that first step or that leap.
I think that's right.
Yeah, it helps having someone like you, I think, on their side to give them the, you know, the confidence, encouragement, and sometimes you just have to know, you know, just do it, just make it happen. So
yes, absolutely, absolutely. So that's our purpose, I would say, with 1,000 different kinds of projects, but they all sort of fall under that umbrella in some form or fashion.
Okay. Well, I've noticed you have the who's who of clients on your roster, so congratulations, you know,
thank
PepsiCo,
you.
7-Eleven, Microsoft, McKesson, to name a few.
Mm-hmm.
These are not easy companies to get in with, so you made your leap from, you know, leaving Accenture to starting your own company, and I think, you know, those of us who do own our own company can attest, you know, there are a lot of challenges, but there's also a lot of rewards in doing so.
Sure.
It's certainly not for everyone. Even those who start it often will think, gosh, you know, this just isn't the right path for me, but at least they gave it a shot. So I'm curious for you, what has been the most exciting part as you scale your company and how, you know, you're selling into such large companies?
Well, you know, it's funny you bring up kind of my history there, and I will say I was not one of those people that was a born entrepreneur. You know this, people. You may be one, Leslie. I mean, where you just kind of had that instinct forever that you knew you were going to start your own company. That was not me. I was a corporate girl. Honestly, I mean, I had been at Accenture, like huge global management consulting firm. And I got there slowly but surely over time, and I started to think about it, and I started to talk with other people who had done it and started to picture that I could do that too, but it was not in, you know, just in my genes where it was like I was going to do that eventually. It was never like that. And so I was actually pretty scared when I started my own business, and so I sort of did some mind tricks. Where, and I've encouraged other people to do this too, where I said, you know, this is such new and foreign territory for me But I said, I'm going to do an experiment for 1 year. And during that year, I'm going to set some what I viewed as fairly moderate targets. And then at the end of the year, I'm going to assess that experiment and I will know if I should continue on. Because I had other opportunities. I could have gone on and done other things in industry, but this was a real pull for me. And so at the end of the year, it was a no-brainer for me. And it really has been ever since to kind of, you know, that was the path that I wanted to continue to go on. But I was not one of these people that just let's jump in and who cares about the risk. That I was not really wired that way. But I did some things that helped me kind of, you know, move my way forward. So that was at the beginning. And in terms of, you know, your question about, you know, what's been most exciting as well as kind of the challenging part, I think the exciting part has been the wide open space, the building, the creating something that doesn't exist. And for me, that is this really what gets me up in the morning, and knowing that, you know, every day is different, every week's different, and you kind of know you can relate to that.
Yes, I can. We have a lot in common. I was not born thinking, you know, every day of my career, I can't wait to start my own company. This is going to be fantastic. I think the only difference is as I went on after starting the company, and I love your advice. I think this is something that people can really take away from this conversation would be, you know, I think people pressure you a lot as you're starting a company to look at your business plan and your strategy and what are your 3 to 5 year goals. And I love that you were much more realistic and let's just look at this a year out and set the goals. And, you know, from there, then I can look out, you know, longer term, but make sure it's viable, it's working, it makes sense. That there is, you know, a market, people will buy from you, and that it's something you can scale. So I think that's really smart advice and something that people often, you know, overlook and put so much pressure on themselves. Well, coming from the corporate side, I guess, what would you say you found to be the most challenging part? So you've been in business now for a while, and I'm sure, you know, the challenges change over time, but what would you say to be the most challenging part when you started the company and as you continue to grow?
Right. I would say at the beginning, in the beginning days, two things probably really I had to adjust to, and they were things that took me 2 or 3 years or beyond to really make that shift. And one is the total self-reliance. I had always considered myself very self-accountable, and I thought that was who I was. And you don't realize until you start a business. I mean, again, picture I'm coming out of this big management consulting firm. I mean, I had an assistant. There was a marketing team. No matter what you needed, it was at your fingertips. And I mean, it was shocking the decisions that I was having to make myself, you know, in terms of, you know, things I had never had to worry about, especially as I got more senior in the organization, everything from, you know, technology and, you know, and just packaging of information and oh gosh, I've done that 10 times, but do I have those versions? I mean, so many things like that were eventually very freeing and good for me to do that, but it was a shock to the system. And I think the other thing is, again, that, you know, that issue of, you know, sometimes your greatest strengths are also can be your greatest vulnerability is, you know, I'm a planner. You can talk to anybody that knows me. I like to have goals. I know what I want to do. And when you have your own business like this, you have got to be very organic and you've got to adjust and learn as you go, especially when you're starting out. And the uncertainty and the unpredictability, and finally it took me 3 years to realize I can have goals, I can set a course, but there might be a brand new opportunity that appears that might change that course. And so you have to really be dynamic and feel comfortable in it. And so why I always preach that, you know, you got to be comfortable in ambiguity, you got to be able to, you know, thrive even when you can't, you know, I really had to learn that myself in a really big way. And so I think those two things, that organic nature and uncertainty and not being able to really plan everything out. And then secondly, I would say just total and complete self-reliance, which was thrilling, but also at sometimes exhausting, you know, to figure everything out yourself.
Yes, it can. You often feel like you're wearing the weight of the world on your,
yes,
on your shoulders.
Yes, absolutely.
I would say, you know, the advice of you can't be, you know, coming out of a center, and I was in a similar situation coming out of a corporate marketing role.
Sure.
I had never managed a P&L. I shadowed salespeople, but I wasn't in sales, and I certainly didn't know how to do legal contracts and things of that nature. And I think often, you know, when I'm mentoring or coaching other entrepreneurs today, and they'll say, I need a business partner for this, or I need to take on a, you know, a chief whatever officer for this. And it's like, you know, really, you just need to find people who you trust to help you along the way,
yes,
and be comfortable asking questions. So having mentors who will teach you, you know, I had a great mentor teach me the ropes on P&L and financial management. Fortunately, my husband's an attorney and it can help on that front. So, you know, you just turn to people, and I think you're right. It's, you know, not to put that pressure on yourself, but you learn as you go. And I don't know if you feel the same way, that your conversations with clients have changed over the years because
a lot
are a business owner, and people are always surprised. They'll say, you know, Leslie, when we're talking, you talk more about business than you do marketing. And I think it's because the core and the foundation of it is business. Have you found the same thing as you've grown in your business and your career?
Yes, definitely. Well, you think differently, and you also realize, you know, it's just totally different when you're making decisions that the bottom line is your bottom line. It's different than if you have a budget in a corporate role. It's just totally different. And you see the levers of, you know, what drives business growth and where do you make those investments. I completely agree. You know, the other thing you mentioned that I think is really important, that I know I end up talking to a lot of people when they're starting to start their business, is the sales component of it. That doesn't mean you have to go be the cheesy salesperson that you might, you know, that might really make you cringe. But if you're going to start your own business, building relationships and letting people know what you do and being able to sell those services in your way, you have to be able to do that and feel comfortable and enjoy doing it. Because, you know, it's so many people who want to start their own business, you know, they're competent, they're experts. If you can't do that, you don't want to do that, you're either going to need to find a partner or you're going to have to, you know, to get out there and learn, because there is no one else that, you know, that can take total responsibility for it. And that's what's going to keep your business going. So I think you brought up that point. I think that's a huge shift for so many people that have come out of those big organizations, I see.
Yeah, I would agree. We work with a lot of companies who are, you know, in rapid growth mode, and you can tell those who are managed with an operations CEO or managed with a sales CEO, and where they can struggle on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
absolutely.
I would say in, you know, gosh, 13 years in business, Patty, I was reading through your profile when we first met and learning more about your background. And not only did you start your own company, but you've also done something that a lot of people talk about but never do. And sometimes it's just time gets in the way, you know, or they're just not sure how to bring it to life. But you are also a published author. So
I am.
2 or 3 years ago, back in the summer of 2014, you published a book called Make Waves, Be the One to Start Change and Work in Life.
Yes.
And in your book, one of the things that you talked about, and obviously this ties nicely into the wave of change theory and concept you have as well, but you encourage readers to step up and be the one to initiate change in their work and lives. And I have to tell you that this is something that those who know me well know that I'm extraordinarily passionate about, because, you know, I'm one of the co-founders of ARA. It's Attract, Retain, and Advance Women in Technology. And we coach and mentor a lot of women in their careers. And what we often hear is that they're basically, to sum it up, waiting for other people to make change for them. They're waiting, you know, why didn't I get that promotion? Or why didn't I, instead of just taking charge of it?
I agree.
So tell me a little bit, I'm really curious about this book, and What happened in your life where you decided, you know, A, on the topic, and B, I'm going to write about it?
Right. Oh, there's so many things that I want to comment on what you talked about. Totally agree with you. I see that so often, especially with in young women. But first off, in terms of my story with the book, it had been on my list. I had been thinking about it for a while. Like you said, business was growing. I was very busy. I was not. I had, you know, kids, family. I had a lot going on. I didn't have a lot of free time. And so it had been there. It was in my head. And then two things, probably. One, externally, I started to get some nudges. You know how, you know, people, what, have you written a book yet? You haven't. I was speaking more. I was involved in a lot more things publicly. And so more people would ask me that. Well, have you written? Why haven't you written? I got a couple of calls from editors. So I was like, okay, it was happening quite a bit. And so, okay, that's my external nudge. And then the other thing is sheer determination. Once I decided I was going to do it, it was a lot of work because I went the traditional publishing route. And I'm not saying that is the only route. Matter of fact, there are some times when you shouldn't do that, but I did. And so that set in course the course for me where I eventually I got an agent, which I think was as hard as getting published. I went through multiple rewrites. I went through being rejected a couple of times because it got almost all the way to approval. And then this is too similar to this other book. We've decided to wait. So probably it took me a year to get to the point where I was even really, you know, I got my contract and stuck with it. And then when writing the book, I just made my mind if I was going to do it. I didn't have time to do it. And I had a deadline. That was the other downside of having a contract. You know, it's like, oh my gosh. So I was, you know, luckily I'm a very supportive husband and family. And, you know, I would get up at, you know, 4:30 and 5. I would sometimes stay up until 2, and I got it done. And it was, for me, I was running a business too. That was my day job. So I would just say sheer determination and deciding this is probably going to be hard, but I want to do it and I'm going to do it. And so there's that part of it that I think there's no glamour in that part of it. In fact, it was a year I wouldn't want to relive, but it was well worth it, but a ton of work and ton of just staying with it and not giving up on it, to be honest.
So when you look at, and you probably talk to other executives who are talking about this. So you've mentioned some pieces of advice, you know, you've got to be determined and, you know, if you're going to start something, you have to start with it, the pros and cons of, you know, going through a publisher or not. It sounds like it took about a year from perhaps beginning to end when you started writing and publishing the book. What advice would you give executives outside of that? Is there anything else just to the core that you feel like would be worth sharing?
Yeah, I think a couple of things come to mind. One is really having a crystal clear answer of why do you want to write a book? What is it that you want to get out of it? What is your purpose? And depending upon the answer to that, it might be a simple self-published book that you share with your friends, you share with a few of your clients, and you've accomplished that goal. You've shared your thoughts with the world. If you want to share your expertise and be able to give something that your clients can use as they're doing their work, then that's going to be a different kind of book. So, and how you publish it, does it matter if you sell any books? You're not going to earn, that's the other thing, you're not going to earn a lot of money from a book. So, you know, what is it you're trying to do? And I think if you have a really crystal clear answer on that, that can really set your path of whether you're going to go, how you're going to publish it, what you're going to write about, what's it going to be like. I think that's one. And then the other thing I think is that when it comes to, at least for me, when I went the traditional publishing route, there's two very important parts. One is what do you have to say? But probably I spent 50 to 60% of my conversations with my publisher about marketing and getting out and, oh my gosh, that first year the book came out, all kinds of events and speaking and those sorts of things that are expected that you need to get out there and do that. And so that is a very important part of it, is sharing what you've written. And, you know, especially if you depending on your goals, but that takes a lot of just putting yourself out there, and you've got to be willing to do that. And a lot of people think about the writing part of it, not about the actually, how do you share your story with everybody else?
Yeah, that's a really good point. We're talking to a company right now who the CEO is publishing a book, and they're looking at, you know, talking through with the publisher about ideas for marketing mm-hmm. as well as their marketing team. Because like you, you know, having your own company and publishing a book, the lines cross between the personal brand and the company brand. Do you have any advice as that's related to how you kind of cross that bridge between the mm-hmm. two, or did it just kind of flow together because they're both yours?
Mm-hmm. No, it was very intentional. In fact, it's interesting you bring that up because that was one of the early on conversations that I had, because part of my purpose was I did want it to complement my business. I did, while it is a book to individuals, I wanted it also to be something my clients can use and can be helpful. So I tried to find that bridge between what my voice and what I wanted to say and talking about it in a way that I thought could help others. And, you know, I really spent a fair amount of time on looking for that intersection, because otherwise I wasn't really going back to what are you trying to do? I wasn't going to accomplish my goal, which one of them was that it was going to make some difference for, you know, some of my clients or be something that future clients might look to.
Right. And I think it's just the nature of our lives. People always ask me about balance and yeah. how do you balance between, you know, running a company and boards and Aura and having sure. a family. And at the end of the day, it's all one. I heard a speaker once say, you know, like my hobby is my career. And that's not, you know, not necessarily the case for me, but it is, it's such a passion. You know, when you love what you do for a living,
sure,
it makes it a lot easier to be able to, when you're writing a book, let's say, of course, the two are going to be fully aligned as they should, because it's just part of your being and the core of your
yes.
foundation. So that makes perfect sense. And I think when you look at purpose, it's certainly you have a story to tell and you have something mm-hmm. to share, and it's touched you both personally and professionally. So I
that's
think
right.
That's really great advice. When people are thinking about that, it'll come across even stronger as you're out there mm-hmm. sharing the message with different people.
Sure.
So as a woman in business, you know, a lot of mm-hmm. My passions and spare time are actually spent mentoring, and mentoring can mean many different things. It doesn't necessarily have to be a formal relationship. It can really just be meeting a couple times over coffee or lunch, or
sure.
having someone you know you can reach out to if you ever need anything. But I have found, you know, offering women kind of an outlet or somewhere to go where they know they have someone who they can reach out to, and, you know, which was the premise of when we started Aura. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit, you know, being a successful woman in business and having come from a big company such as Accenture
sure.
and now publishing your own book, what are your thoughts on mentorship, and have you had them in the past, and maybe what are some of the lessons you've learned along the way by having people in your lives you turn to?
Mm-hmm. What a great topic. And a rich topic that we could spend a lot of time on. I think the thing I think of the most here is I have not had one mentor. I have had many mentors. And so I think of it as mentor with a little M, where, you know, the people that you turn to for their perspectives or advice are depending upon where you need that guidance. And like when I was starting my business, I went to multiple people who you mentioned that you had somebody that really worked with you on, you know, how do you really make decisions around when you're making the decisions for the P&L. So I'm a big believer in multiple mentors with a little M. It's very hard in the complex world that we are in that you can have one person who is can play that role, I think. And maybe someone's fortunate enough to have that. But so I looked multiple places and for guidance and perspective. And, you know, some of those you might say, is that really a mentoring relationship, or is that more information sharing and learning relationship. Probably some of that too, but I think about it that way. You know, kind of like a web of mentoring type relationships that I still have, honestly. People that know how to do certain things that I don't, that bring perspective I don't have, that make me, you know, that would affect my thinking. So I'm not sure if that's directly answering your question.
Yeah, it does. I think it's a great point, because one of the things that I've seen, I guess, over the years is that people think of mentorship like it needs to be a formal relationship, because it's a term that by definition could mean that.
Yes.
But really, to your point, it's just feeling comfortable asking people for help and for guidance and for advice, and knowing that there's a network of people out there who will help you. I would say you have to be seen to be heard is a motto that I talk about a lot. And it's the same thing with this, where if you don't ask for help, you're not going to get help. So you have to be able to put yourself out there and feel comfortable. Instead of it living in your head and wondering, you know, you've got to put yourself out there and do that. One of the latest pieces of advice that I have from a coach / mentor who I work with and talk to all the time, as an entrepreneur, and I'm sure you can appreciate this, you wear so many different hats.
Right.
And the one hat that you need to wear and wear it proud and know that this is you is that CEO hat.
Like
you are the CEO of this company, and you know, you are, you know, you need to be seen in the shoes that you're wearing and walking in.
That's right.
And I think that when you surround your people, yourself, with people who really you can offer those relationships, I guess, the little M like you called, you know, you're always a mentor or a mentee. You're both all the time. You're always learning and growing. So I think it's important to be comfortable opening yourself up to those things as well.
Yeah, I agree.
So, all right, with that, listen, we never celebrate our success. It's rare, and women do it even less. So
I like to ask
this question because, you know, it's important, and we do it as a company. It's called Five for Fridays, and we publish it on Slack, and we look at five different things that have happened throughout the week. It could be kudos to a person or, you know, client engagement or just something random that has happened in someone's life on our team. But it's really important that you celebrate the success along the way. So tell us, what is your most rewarding or proud moment?
You know, that's almost impossible to answer.
It is a hard question, I will admit.
Hard question. But I will say, from a business, set aside some of the personal things I might mention, but, you know, from a business standpoint, I would say the fact that I feel like the business is thriving and there are opportunities. I mean, I love seeing within our team people that are working the way they want to work, reaching their goals. I think that sounds maybe a little bit la-la, but that for me, probably is one of the biggest. And the fact that, you know, to have started that business, you know, 13 years ago, and it's still going and thriving. I would have, at the beginning, if you would have told me that, I would have literally done the hallelujah dance, because I just, you know what I mean? I just didn't know if it was going to go that way at all. So I think that one, I think, I love I love being able to mentor younger women. I love being able to, I'm like you, my schedule is jammed, but to the extent that I can, I love being able to pass on things that doesn't mean my story will be the same as theirs, but you do see some patterns, you do see some things that you know kind of that you can share and be helpful to others. For me, that gives me a big charge, being in a position to be able to do that.
I would agree.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. That giving back, paying forward piece.
Sure.
Based on your experiences, even I think sometimes it's surprising when you're talking to people, or you're like, "Wait a minute, yes, I can't. Well, this is what we did, or how I went through this," and it's very rewarding to look back on all of those years. So,
big time.
I guess speaking of looking back on your career, obviously, I would say as entrepreneurs, we tend to look more forward and future.
Sure.
But let's say it's, you know, 20 years from now, 30 years, however many years, when you look back on your career, what is the mark that you would like to leave for other women in business?
And this, I'm not sure if it's Mark as much as, I'm not sure if this may fall more into advice category, but I do think that I would say to other women is keep your mind focused on how can I contribute, not I hope they like me, I hope they think I'm smart, not I hope I'm good enough, but really keep your mind on, you know, the contribution you want to make, because if your mind's on that, it doesn't matter if you're the youngest in the room, if you're the expert, you have a, there's a way you can contribute, whatever that might be. And I think very early in my career, I fit the stereotype, right? Perfectionist, wanted to always be good, right? And so I wanted to, you know, be the one that would get that, had that desire for perfection. And it can really keep you stuck if you are constantly looking for that, or if you're looking for affirmation, or, I mean, because when you're doing big things, you're not going, there's not going to be a parade for you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I always just say, I just think it has taken me a long time, and I still have my moments, but it's taken me a long time to kind of get to the point of really just change your mindset of how can I contribute here? And not on, you know, I hope I'm good enough. I hope that I'm, you know, everybody thinks I'm great. I hope I'm going to earn the A. And so I think that big thought, if I think about other women, that's a constant theme. I hear it in the questions they ask, in the conversations I have. So I don't know if that's exactly where you're going, Leslie, but that's the first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah, I mean, you will be seen, and, you know, maybe it's something you've grown into, but a confident businesswoman, and that is absolutely a common thread mm-hmm. in, I think, women in general in business. And, you know, again, we work with a lot of women in technology, and mm-hmm. most of my team are women and so forth. It's that
sure.
confidence. I was just listening to someone speak on a panel the other day, and she said, you know, what would you tell your 20-year-old self or your 13-year-old mm-hmm. self today? And it was, you are enough.
You are enough.
Yeah. And it's so simple, yes. but it's so true. And you just hit on that exactly. You are mm-hmm. enough. So I would say that's perfect. And I think you're someone who people will look up to and do look up to today. And I just want to say congratulations on your successful business and career and your book and all of those things. I'm sure, Patty, you know, how if someone wanted to reach you, how could they get in touch with you to
right.
know more about your company, your business, your book, whatever it is, how could they reach
yes.
you?
Well, okay, first off, our website is people-results.com. You can find Make Waves on Amazon. And on the website, it has how you can reach out to us. And we'd always love to hear from anyone that would like to know more or connect.
Fantastic. Patty, thank you so much for
joining
us today. Thank you.
It was fun, Leslie. Thank you so much.
Okay, take care.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's The Edge episode. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and subscribe to the podcast in iTunes. And you can also email me at etatum, T-A-T-U-M, at clearedgemarketing.com. And let me know if you have any questions or if you want to hear about anything in particular as it relates to our Women in Staffing series or our marketing episodes. So just shoot me an email and I look forward to connecting with you. Thank you.